Are we going to light the second the first two Advent candles? So we light the second Advent candle to remind us of God's gift of the Bible, his word, which points us to Jesus, who is indeed the light of the world. The Apostle Peter writes, "The word of prophecy was fulfilled in our hearing. You should give that word your first attention, for it shines as a lamp amongst all the dirt and darkness of the world until the day dawns and the morning stars appear in your heart." And just a verse from my Tear Fund Christmas card this year, and it says, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given, the government will be on his shoulders. He'll be called a Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father." And the theme of this morning's service, he'll be called the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. So we're going to begin by singing our first hymn, "Hail to the Lord's Anointed." 204 in Mission Praise, but no one's got Mission Praise, so that's it's on there. Thank you. And so we come to God in prayer. Let us pray. Father God, we come on this second Sunday of Advent as we prepare ourselves for the Christmas season, for the Christmas day, for the time when we shall remember that you indeed fulfilled your promises so well in Jesus Christ. Thousands of years before, in Adam and Noah and Abraham and Moses, you made your promises. You told King David that there would be a greater king than him. And you made these promises and then you fulfilled them in Jesus Christ. And we come this morning to celebrate your faithfulness and your goodness. Your faithfulness that we find in our lives each day and every day. And we come to you this morning too, Lord, because we need your forgiveness and grace. We need you in our lives because we don't have the resources. We don't have the forgiveness. We don't have the healing that we need. And we come to you this morning because we know that you are the one who provides these things for us. So, Lord, we pray that you will forgive us our many sins. That you would help us to be able to turn and to go in a different direction, having met with you this morning. That you would help us to be able to shun sin, to be able to turn so easily from it and receive your spirit and your strength. Lord, we pray that we might be lights in a dark world, that we might bring warmth and hope to many lives. Lord, we ask that you would use us as individuals and us as a church here in Desborough to be a blessing to others. So strengthen us, we pray. Move amongst us, we ask. Bless us. Because we ask our prayers in the powerful name of Jesus, who is our Lord and our Saviour. Amen. Now I'm going to read the Bible. I've got to use my map reading glasses, which are a bit missing an arm, because for some reason they're not in my top pocket. So we'll see how we get on. Starting at verse 8. I'm sorry it's a bit too Christmassy this morning, but this is my only Christmas service I'm doing. After this, I'm redundant till January. So I know it's lovely, really, because I've done 40 years of Christmas and I've run out of ideas. So it is, in some senses, lovely, but I want to just be able to look at this morning. And we are looking at Jesus being the Prince of Peace. And of course, it mentions that this morning. And there were shepherds living out in the flocks nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you great news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David a Saviour has been born. He is Christ the Lord, and this shall be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to the highest, and on earth peace to men, on whom his favour rests." You know, we read these words very quickly, do we not, at Christmas season. And we come this morning and perhaps allow these words to sink into our hearts and recognise the real favour of God that comes through Jesus into our lives. Now, I've just put a little thing down here saying Advent thoughts. It's not really a children's talk. It's not really an adult's talk. It's just a few thoughts, really. And to help you. Now, you know what bees are, don't you? Well, at 5 to midnight last Sunday night, my son works for a funeral director and he gets called out at strange times. So at 5 to midnight last Sunday night, he gets dressed up in his funeral kit and goes to pick somebody up, as it were, and the car doesn't start. So the next thing is comes upstairs, "Dad, the car won't start." So when those things happen, you look to these sort of things, don't you? Because it was a flat battery. You push the button and it just turns over very slightly. So I was a bit lazy. I decided I'd drive him to the place and then we're sorted out the next day. But next day, we get these out and it still won't work. It still won't work. So just first of all, do you remember that joke about a chap who went... Two men went to the club, a nightclub, and while they were trying to get in, the bouncer said, "You can't come in here because you don't have ties on." Remember this joke? So they went back to the car, and all they could find was two lots of jump leads. So they put the jump leads around their neck and wrapped them around and made it into a sort of tie. Went back to the club. When they got to the club, they said to the bouncer, "Can we go in now?" And the bouncer looked at these ties, a bit shorter than these, and he said, "I'll let you in, but don't start anything." Now, I'll tell you what happened then. We got these on my car and opened the engine and started the engine. You know what happens? You rev the engine and you put the two things on, but it wouldn't work. So we rang the AA in the end, and they came out. And I got these, because I think they're quite nice, these. I don't know about you, but I think they look quite good. I mean, they got all you need for, you know, they're pretty posh, and they're my dad's, actually. So, and he doesn't need them now. So I showed these to the AA, and he just laughed at me. He just laughed, says, they're not good enough for this, because my son's got a diesel, and I've got quite a small, cheap petrol job, you know, which doesn't have the amperage, or the power, or the resources. So the AA man just laughed at me, and he got his kit out, much better than this. He put the things on a battery, and it started immediately. And I thought to myself, you know, that's exactly our problem when we come to the Christmas season, is it not? We don't have the resources within ourselves to start things. We don't have the ability to jumpstart other people's lives. We don't have the power. The power's not there. And the power was never there. In all these verses of the Old Testament, it was never adequate until Jesus comes. And when Jesus comes, he's got the resources, the spiritual resources, and he brings this power into this world, which we desperately need. We need to be kick-started in our spiritual lives. We need something that's outside of ourselves, outside of this church, outside of this world. I don't know if you saw Superman last night. It started again, hasn't it? I couldn't help but watch it. I watched it, and if you're on iPlayer, you can watch the next one, the next one, the next one. So I watched a few last night, because there's so much rubbish on telly. So I watched Superman, but you know, it's, to a certain extent, there's very interesting sort of Christian themes, isn't there? When someone comes from another planet to rescue this world, and we always, whatever happens, they always look to Superman to rescue them and save them. We come this morning to the Christmas season, and we come because we recognise we don't have it within ourselves to save ourselves, to rescue ourselves, to forgive ourselves, and to give us that power, that eternal life that we so desperately need. And so I hope and pray over this season we will be honest with ourselves and we'll allow God to come into our hearts and our lives. Allow him to warm us up, as it were, and bless us. You know, it's pretty cool in here this morning, but I'll be honest with you. Last Sunday morning I did a baptism, and during the night the heaters blew, and they didn't heat the water, but didn't heat, and the church heaters went off. So the church was cold and the water was freezing. So I feel this morning it's quite tropical, really, compared to last Sunday. But it reminds us constantly we do need this infusion of God's warmth, of God's power, and of God's blessing. And I hope and pray this Christmas season we will somehow connect ourselves to him and not seek to find our satisfaction and hope and help in all the things, all the fripperies that make up so many Christmases. So may God bless us, and may he help us to know the true meaning of Christmas this season. So the music group are going to come forward and lead us in Light of the World. stay there because you're going to sing after. I'm going to pray, then you're going to sing again. So if you stay there. So please be seated. So we're going to say some prayers for others. We're going to think about the world in which we live, which, as you know, is a difficult world. And we're also going to pray for Nick and Dawn. You probably know that Nick and Dawn were accepted. Well, Nick was accepted onto Regents, onto the list for ministers, and he's now able to train as a minister. And that happened on Tuesday, and we thank God for that. And Nick's got to go back to college now and see what they demand of him. And he'll no doubt come back to the church and tell us. But we're going to pray for Nick and Dawn as they go through this process over these next few months. So let's pray. Let's pray for others. Father God, we do pause this morning and bless you for your goodness. And we pray this morning particularly for Nick and for Dawn as they enter this journey that leads in 3 years' time to full-time ministry. We thank you, Lord, that you've called them, that you've given them this demand on their lives. And we thank you they've been faithful to respond to you. And we pray now as they put the practical things together, you will be in this, that you will give them health and strength and hope and blessing, that they will know your presence and they will know your reassurance as the weeks go by. So be with them, we pray. Be with us, Lord, as we seek to support them and your work in this town. Extend your kingdom, we pray, amongst us. We pray, Lord, for those who are unwell, for those who can't enjoy this season, for those who've got hospital appointments, for those who have to isolate before the appointments and isolate afterwards. We think of those who are separated from family because of countries being on red lists. We think of those who just won't go to places because they fear being amongst others and the damage that could cause. Lord, we pray for all who are struggling in this season that should be a season of joy but can be a season of fear because of the pandemic. Be amongst us, we pray. Add your blessing particularly to those who have health issues and for those that we know, for those names that just crop up when we mention those who are unwell. We ask a blessing. We pray, Lord, for the Christmas season in our nation, that it may indeed be a season of peace and joy. We recognise that often alcohol and aggression and simply bad behaviour can come in and damage so many things. We think of the difficulties that take place sometimes at parties and some of the fighting and some of the just bad behaviour that happens. Lord, we pray for your presence and your peace this Christmas season. We think of the street pastors who seek on many occasions to police our streets, to show your grace and mercy in dark and cold mornings as people come out of pubs and find themselves the worse for wear. Lord, be amongst those, we pray, who seek to show your love and your grace this Christmas season. We pray, Lord, for our nation and those who lead us. We pray for wisdom for those who have responsibility over us, whether it be on a local or national level. We ask, Lord, for all politicians that they may be honest and just and fair, that they may make wise decisions, and that you would indeed be in these situations and circumstances. And we think of the world in which we live, where again we pray for world leaders as they also grapple with large issues. We think of the 170,000 troops that seem to be massed on the border of Ukraine with threats there constantly for the destruction of peace. And Lord, we pray for your presence because we believe, Lord, that things do not happen in this world just by chance. And we believe, Lord, you have the ultimate control. So we do give these things into your hands and pray your blessing and your presence. And finally, for ourselves, Lord, may we each of us be drawn closer to you in this Christmas season. May we find the space and the time to consider again the real good news of the Christmas story. Lord, hear our prayers. Hear the quiet and silent prayers of our hearts, because we ask them in Jesus' name. Amen. 10,000 Reasons.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name, sing like never before, O Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
oh my soul.
Worship is all we made. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship your holy name.
And on that day when my strength is failing, the angels in my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
oh my soul.
Worship is all.
So we're just going to pray before we look at God's word and just pray that God will bless us. Lord, we just pause to ask that your spirit will have access to our hearts and minds, that he will guide us and lead us in your truth. Lord, be amongst us, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. When I was a minister at Corby Baptist Church, my son used to be a policeman. He used to be the PCSO at first and then the policeman in the town. And he used to often send me little jokes about what was going on. And he sent me this. He's not a policeman there anymore. And he sent me this week, which, take it as you find it. The police went just behind the library in Corby. This is a report he sent to me. The police went to just behind the library in Corby, and there they found a large cache of weapons, grenades and bombs. And they were quite surprised to find that. And the local people, when they were interviewed on the news, one man said, "I'm shocked," he said. "I didn't realise Corby had a library." Now, I want to say to you this. I think I'm shocked because I don't think many people realise that God has given us a library of 66 books with his truths and his words in them. When Daniel was exiled to Babylon and he was stuck out there in miles from the temple, the sacrifices weren't taking place, the temple had been destroyed. Daniel took the law of the Old Testament, the first five books, and he would use those in his prayers. He would use those to keep him close to God. He would give God back his words when he prayed and when he spoke. And often Jesus and often we are called to read God's word and to use his word, to pray, to pray for God's things. If you're stuck, open the Psalms. Use them as an opportunity. We need to get to know God. You see, today, often, years ago, used to be Bible Sunday. The second Sunday in Advent was always Bible Sunday. When we remembered God's word, when we lifted God's word high, when we celebrated the good news that comes to us, the promises and the good news of the gospel. But of course, that's stopped now, and the Bible Sunday, I believe, is in March or May time when people say it's away from Christmas and the Bible Society can have a better access to information rather than being distracted by Christmas. So we come this morning to think about this subject of the Prince of Peace, of peace and all that God gives us. And I remember a picture I saw some years ago of a storm in a difficult season of the year, when two seagulls were sitting in a cliff face on a nest, and they were there sitting with the wind blowing around them, just looking and watching and seeing the sea and all the rain washing around. And it's simply entitled, as they sit there, it's simply entitled, Peace. The storm may be blowing, but these two seagulls, they found their home, they found their rest, they are secure and they are safe. And I'd like to think this morning, that is us. We found our home, our spiritual home, our eternal home. And whatever happens, as Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And whatever happens to us, we're in God's hands. The Lord has come. The Lord has fulfilled his promises, and he is fulfilling them in our lives and the lives of those who love him. And so this morning, we come to celebrate this peace that we have amongst the difficulties of this world. You know, we shall never have peace in this world. We know that. We know that the world will not continue to get better and better and better, whatever we do. But we do need to find that peace that comes from Jesus, from God, from his presence in our lives. And so often this morning, we should turn our attention really to John the Baptist, who comes to announce this peace, who comes to announce this new relationship that we have. Now, I've only got one John the Baptist joke, okay? And we have to only can use it this time of the year, really. So the question is, what's the similarity between John the Baptist and Winnie the Pooh? I know it's a difficult question. And the answer is simply this. They both got the same middle name. The. That's the only joke I've got on John the Baptist. But John the Baptist comes into the world and he identifies this new relationship that God offers. He identifies this peace that we can find, this peace that we need. And he offers this baptism. And now many of us have been baptized. Many of us have done what... What do you do when you... I said this last week when I baptized this lad, Jack. And I said this, when you have problems with your computer, what do you do? You switch it off and you switch it back on again. It's the best option. I mean, you can ring all these techie guys and whatever, but the best thing to do is whenever I ring my son-in-law, if my computer goes wrong, he always says, just turn it off and turn it back on again and ring me back if there's a problem. And there very rarely is, I'll be honest. And it works with the phone as well. If you're sitting watching your phone and it goes with a problem, just turn it off. Give it 30 seconds. And when you get baptized, that's what you do, is it not? You switch off your old life. You go under the water and you die to your old life. And you come back up out of the water and you're facing in a different direction. You go out of the baptismal pool a different direction. Certainly you do at the church I go to. And you are there facing God and his purposes. And I like to think then, what happens in our lives then, is you download stuff from God. You know what The best things I do on my computer are not things I invent. That's stuff I download. Programs and things that make it... My phone was updated this week. I don't know whether yours has been, but suddenly my weather app is a lot better. Not the weather's no better, you understand, but the app's better. I know what it feels like now rather than just what temperature it is. I know what the pressure on the barometer is. I know what time it's going to rain and when the drizzle's going to stop. Those are the things that I know now rather than just a basic little few pictures for the day. And this download has come and made such a difference to my telephone. And downloads can come from heaven that make a difference to our lives. But we need to open the channels, to allow that access for God's Spirit to come into our lives. And so it does mean some sort of tidying up needs to take place. Now, I'll tell you, when the AA came to see my son this week, my son's, I don't know about you, but teenagers, well, he's not a teenager, he's 24, but kids do seem to have messy cars these days. Maybe adults do too. One of my wife's friends picked up my daughter once, and she got quite a big people carrier, and it's only her in the car. My daughter said, I couldn't get in, Dad, there was no room. There was so much stuff. Now when the AA were coming to see my son, he knew they were coming. He said, I better go out and get the rubbish out of the car. It looks so bad. Now, he doesn't usually think it looks bad. But when the AA were coming, he just wanted to make it look good. And no doubt you feel the same. You know, when you can sit in your lounge at home and you think it's okay. But if someone comes in, you suddenly notice the dirty cup or the thing you didn't clear up or the hoovering you didn't do. You suddenly notice the things that are a mess. They're just a problem, aren't they? Or if you spill something down your front when you're out, you know, you spend the rest of the time like that, don't you? Because you just feel messy. And we come this morning, I like to think that when we come into the presence of God, the first thing we do is recognise our mess. Remember Isaiah came to God, and when he saw God in the temple, the first thing he said was, woe to me, I'm not clean. I live amongst a people, and certainly we know this, of unclean lips. And we certainly, I certainly get fed up watching these Superman, they don't swear every other word. Certainly we live in a generation of unclean lips. And we live in this world, and the aim is not to judge others, but the aim is, as Daniel and Isaiah prayed, not just for himself for forgiveness, but for his friends and his nation and his town. He wanted God to forgive us for the mess that we've got ourselves in, to help in the tidying up. And that's what Jesus does when he comes at Christmas. He tidies our lives. He offers the chance to tidy up. He wants to work with us as we tidy. When you think about your life, you spend so much time getting rid of dirt. I bet you wash the washing machines on every day, is it not? Twice some days. And when we were kids, you only washed on a Monday. Didn't that tree wash on a Monday and you ironed on a Tuesday? You changed your pants on Thursday if you needed to. But hopefully you could get through to next Monday, you know? That's how it was in those days. I don't know how we managed. My grandma used to turn up on a Tuesday to help with the ironing. But these days, we spend so much time washing. Then there's the dishwasher that goes on. And then there's the hoovering that takes place. And we've got all manners of hoovering. But one of my friends has got a hoover for downstairs and one for upstairs. My next door neighbour, she hoovers her garage. I mean, honestly, who hoovers the garage? But she's quite particular. And just recently, she has a haircut in the garage because she doesn't like to be inside with a hairdresser in the pandemic. So you come up the street every other week, and there she is with the garage door open, having hoovered it, and she's sitting there having a haircut. And she gets quite disappointed if I don't go and comment on how nice it is. So we spend a lot of time in this world clearing up and tidying up and making things right. You know, there's a whole industry involved in sewage and disposal of sewage. There's a whole world out there of getting rid of rubbish, of waste, of getting the recycling done and the dustbins done. I mean, it's absolutely agony. My daughter looks after the recycling for the Northamptonshire, for the whole of the new county. And she, you know, when someone's bin isn't picked up, the phone never stops ringing. If a dust cart misses a street, then it's terrible. The phone rings and they have to send a special cart out and pick it up. And because people want to get rid of their rubbish so they can start again, don't they? Now, it's surprising to me that we don't have the same attitude towards our spiritual lives. That we don't spend so much time cleaning up and tidying up and asking God to forgive and dealing with those things that just mess our lives and prevent God's Spirit from moving. You know, we don't have the right attitude towards God. So often people say to me, when I'm better, I shall think about becoming a Christian. When I've got over my problems, I shall become a Christian. When I've sorted things out more, I shall consider God's things. No, that's not the right way around. The right way around is this, that when we look at ourselves and see what a mess we're in, what forgiveness is necessary, it's at that point we come and ask God to forgive us and ask to start that relationship. To switch off the old life and turn back on the new one. Jesus comes into this world. He comes to be God with us, Emmanuel. He comes to sort out these messy lives that we have and to make us cleaner and tidier. To allow God to have a space. You know, I've told you about my problem with the car park machine in Boughton-on-the-Water, haven't I? I mean, the toilets are 30 pence and you've got to pay by Visa. And the car park machine is the same. You see, in my car, I won't say ashtray, because there are no ashtrays anymore, but I've got a little pot of pound coins and 20 pence pieces. And I usually reckon, I've got about £10 worth, and I usually reckon all these coins between them, whenever I get to a car park, I'm always going to have the right change. Because you know what car park machines are like? They want £3.65, don't they, or something, just to park your car. So, and rather than pay £3.70 or £4 and not get any change, I like to have the right money. And I'm quite proud of my arrangements. But when I got to Boughton-on-the-Water, and when you go anywhere these days, you suddenly realise that all that you've collected is an absolute waste of time because there's no cash place anymore. You can't put your money in. You've got to ring up or you've got to flash your card. Now, it's a bit like that with our lives, is it not? We're so good at thinking, oh, I've done that, I've sorted that, I've got my life sorted out in that area. And we're so proud of ourselves and so pleased with ourselves that we don't realise that the currency we're paying in being good isn't the currency God wants to receive. What God wants to receive from us is for us to stand behind the blood of Jesus Christ, to receive the forgiveness and the grace that Jesus Christ offers. We don't have the right currency. We don't have the right money. And all the things that we've collected in our lives, all the good things we've done, and you can look back over your life, no doubt, and some things you're quite pleased of. I feel like the Pharisees sometimes in Luke chapter 18. I can say to myself, I say to God sometimes, you know, you're quite lucky to have a chap like me. But that's not the way we should move forward. We are the tax collector. We are the sinner who stands at the entrance of the church and says to God, look, I don't think I ought to go in there today because I'm not a good person. Help me, forgive me, cleanse me, restore me. There's a hymn written some years ago by a chap called, I had to look his name up, Augustus Montague Toplady. What a name, Augustus Montague. I mean, what sort of mother, I mean, calls your son Augustus Montague? Only equal to Slobodan Milosevic, I always think. I mean, I can't imagine having a baby and thinking, oh, well, what a lovely little Slobodan. But I just can't imagine it, really. But anyway, Augustus Montague Toplady was in a stagecoach about 200 years ago going across Dartmoor. And as he was going across Dartmoor, the heavens opened and a thunderstorm came upon them. And they had to stop the stagecoach and hide or stand under some sort of rock. And this rock was this sort of semi-cave, really, was there. And the stagecoach stopped and the people got out and they got into the cave. And they stood there while the storm passed. And August Montague Toplady wrote the hymn, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. And he saw that cave, that rock, as a means of protecting him from the ravages of the storm, from the power of nature. And he thanked God through that hymn. And you can go and read it, if you like, later on at home. You can just thank God for all that he's done for us as he gives us Jesus Christ, behind whom we hide. Remember Exodus chapter 12, when the Israelites are waiting to escape from Egypt, and they painted the blood on the lintels of the lamb. Killed a one-year-old lamb, they painted the blood on the lintels, and they hid behind it. They stayed behind it. And those who lived behind that blood were that night rescued from the power of death. And those who didn't have blood on the lintels experienced death in the home. And we come this morning to seek the peace that God can offer us by hiding behind the blood of Jesus Christ, accepting that blood as sufficient for our sins. Accepting the blood of Christ as being adequate for us. Hiding ourselves away from the wrath of God. Because God is a God of justice as well as a God of love. And we do need protection from that. And the only protection we have is when Jesus offers us the peace in the storm of sin and the healing that comes from heaven. So Jesus comes at Christmas and he is the good news. He is the Prince of Peace. He comes to bring peace between man and God, which is more important than any other peace that we need. We need that peace. We need that relationship. We need that channel opened up, if you like, that restoration. The thing that was lost when Adam and Eve made the mistake in the garden can be restored as Jesus comes into this world and we allow him to come into our lives. We accept him. We accept what he did. Nothing extra. And so often we add to that. So often we add on to things, to trust in Jesus and do good things and go to church and read our Bible every day. Now, these are good things to do, but they're not the way in which we gain peace. We gain peace by accepting Jesus Christ and allowing him to switch off our old life and turn on the new life, which then has desires to do these things. It become like the only benefit apparently of the space program is they invented the non-stick frying pan, from what I understand. That's the one thing they invented in space was the non-stick frying pan. And we need to become like those non-stick frying pans. The ones that work, that is, not the ones that don't work, because some of them aren't so good, are they? But a true non-stick frying pan, you put your stuff in it and you just clean it up afterwards. And we need to have that sort of Teflon approach to sin. So that when we're not going to escape from sin. We're not going to escape from the powers and the problems of this world, but it's going to slip off us. We're going to, the power of sin won't have its strength. It'll be like ice when the summer comes. It'll just melt away and not have that power over us. So what are you doing to get ready for the Christmas season? What is it you're doing? We got our Christmas stuff out yesterday. And we got ourselves starting to get ready for Christmas. We've started to buy a few presents. And we bought a few Christmas cards to send. But what are you doing to get ready for Christmas? What are you reading? How are you journeying? Where's your mindset? How are you talking to God about the Christmas season? What sort of space have you got in your life? You know, so many churches, they have a service on Christmas Eve, so you haven't got to go to church Christmas Day because you're too busy. It's a strange old world, isn't it? Well, we haven't got time to go to church Christmas Day because we're too busy. And even then, us Baptists have it at 10 o'clock so we can get our lunch sorted out easier. I mean, Oliver Cromwell had the right policy, didn't he? Get rid of Christmas. You know, he used to break into houses and steal a turkey, didn't he? So that people couldn't celebrate. But, you know, we do need to be people who have Christmas, as it were, as a true spiritual celebration, as we really recognise what God is offering. There must be room in our lives, must be space, and if you don't make space, there won't be room. As I say, I find it quite amusing, actually, and I'm a bit naughty, really. When people open their garage doors, I do like to look inside. I just do, and this time of year it's quite nice because they open the garage doors to go to the freezer and they put a light on, you can see what's inside. And you know, quite a few people up my street, the garages are quite full. In fact, one chap's got so much stuff in his garage he can't get to the back. He can't walk around his garage, he can just about get to the front really. And even my next door neighbour who hoovers it and has got, you know, not much in there, she's still got a few things in there. Let's put it differently, she can't get a car in there. In fact, I don't know anybody who gets their car in their garage. Not anybody. And yet it seems strange to build all these new houses they build. And they still put garages there, but no one puts the car in it. It just seems odd to me that we behave like that. We spend all that money on a room to put a car, and then we keep it outside. So what's going on? And why is it we behave like that in our lives? Our lives, the place where God should be in our lives, is full of other stuff, full of other desires and aims and plans, full of self. We plan our lives out, we organise things. As I say, I've cleared my garage a bit, so I can at least walk to the back and walk to the front now and get things that I need, because I couldn't even get in to find the things I needed. But I can't get my car in there, and I don't think I ever will, because to be honest, I like to keep a few things in there that I shouldn't keep, really. You know, like the extra lawnmower or things. But I come to myself this morning, and I say, why is it I've got a hole or space in my life? God has built a space. He's gone to all the effort of putting a place there for him to rest. And I've filled it up with so much stuff. I'm so messy and a lot of the stuff in the garage, I'm glad my wife's not here this morning, because she would say, most of the stuff in the garage you will never use. You will never use. And when you die, I shall just chuck it away. That's what she says to me. She obviously doesn't think I've got long. And, you know, it's true, isn't it? We fill our lives with rubbish that have no value whatsoever. Not beyond the immediate, perhaps. Even then, it's of no value. And I'd like to appeal to you this morning to go home and have a good old tidy up. Don't go in the garage because it's too cold, but wait till Easter to do that. But look into the heart and make a bit of room. Give God some space. And if you hear him speak to you, respond to him. Listen to his voice. Read some Psalms. Read the Christmas story again. Look at Mary and the way in which she was willing to give everything up just to follow Jesus. Look at these people who gave up so much. The disciples who walked away from lucrative careers to simply be in the place God wanted them to be. And James had his head cut off 3 weeks after Jesus resurrected from the dead. Let's get our priorities right. Let's get Christmas in focus. Let's get to discover the true peace that God offers to us by a good and close relationship with him, which comes simply by trusting in Jesus Christ. May God help us to keep ourselves tidy and available. And may he send his power into our lives, because it's possible to happen. You know, someone once said, God has yet to show what he can do when a person will give themselves 100% to him. I think Jesus is the only person who did that, and all of us, we do keep these bits and pieces, don't we, which we want to just hang on to. Idols, things that we hold on to, and we feel safe if we've holding on to them. But when you look back, you have... I just tell you a story, and it'll encourage you, Nick, this will. When I went into ministry, I managed to get made redundant from the council. They made me redundant. They gave me £15,000 as redundancy, and I put that in the bank just in case things didn't work out as well as I'd like them to, or things just in case the minister's salary wasn't enough, because it was going to be half what I used to earn. And you know, when I got to 60, this £15,000 was still in the account. I'd never touched it, never needed it. Because God had been faithful and good. I trusted him and he'd been faithful. And I shouldn't have doubted him, should I? But he allows us to have some of these comfort blankets sometimes. And so I used it to pay off my mortgage, because my mortgage was £14,000 at the time. And I paid the mortgage off. And I really felt as though God had been good. And God had been good to me. And I like to think all of us can be those people. People who trust in him, not in the things of this world that so often distract us and have false... I look to the hills. No, don't look to the hills. Look to God, from whence come our strength. May God bless us and help us. And may he truly allow us to be serious about our preparations for Christmas. Not the tree, not the decorations, but the heart that's ready to receive a Jesus who still struggles to find a home in many lives. Amen. Brian's going to play for us, There's a Light Upon the Mountain, and we shall sing. And so we pray. Lord, may your peace rest and remain upon us. May the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit come and rest and remain with us, with those who we love, and indeed with those who we should love, now and for always. Amen.